Hi there and welcome to another one of my podcasts. This is the December one, which means my Christmas issue. So I'm not going to spend too much time introducing this very long excerpt here. It is an excerpt from a 1942 Christmas Eve version of a radio program featuring Bob Hope and his guest, the person with whom perhaps one associates Christmas most of all, Bing Crosby. This is typical of the sort of gentle insulting that they gave to each other on the radio, particularly during World War II when America finally joined the war. As I say, Christmas Eve 1942, Bob Hope and Bing Crosby.
Very sweet, Jenny.
Very good.
And now, fellas, command performance answers mail from every corner of every one of the United Nations. It's the old groaner himself, Bing Crosby.
Nice of you to dress.
Informal tonight, formal.
Formal, you got a shirt on. Is that a shirt?
You get into bed quickly, don't you, huh?
Thank you. Season's greetings, fellows, and a Merry Christmas to you, High Horn.
Merry Christmas to you, short, squat, and melodic. Say, you know, you're going to wear those earmuffs all during the show. Look,
Cheek chicory. You don't like my cheek chicory?
Your cheek chicory. Yeah. Well, shut it. You know, Cross, we've been on a lot of radio programs together. Big ones, small ones, long wave, short wave. But command performance tonight is going to be different from anything we've ever done before.
Oh, you mean I'm going to get a few laughs?
Well, not that different, no. Say, Cross, you were a little late coming down to the studio. Where were you?
Well, you know how Christmas Eve is, Bob, with the kids and everything. I was home.
Yeah? How are things out of Boys Town?
Oh, they're rugged, Bob. Very rugged.
Yes, they are.
Tell the truth, I'm a little worried.
Worried?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm dressing up as Santa Claus tomorrow, and I'm afraid the kids will recognize me.
Don't worry, Claus. The minute you put on that Santa Claus suit, nobody will recognize you.
Why not?
It'll be the first time in 20 years you've worn a coat and pants that match. Don't miss that.
It'll be the first time I had a coat.
But seriously, Bing,
to
get back to the program tonight, I can't get over this command performance.
That's wonderful.
Imagine we're being heard by close to a billion people in nearly 30 countries.
Brother, when you lay an egg tonight, it's an international omelet, isn't it? Bob, I want to tell you, this hookup is nothing compared to the radio we're going to have when this war is over. We'll have television all over the world.
Television, huh?
That's right, Bob. People will be able not only to hear you, but see you. They can use their eyes and their ears.
Well, do you think they'll appreciate my jokes just as well?
Say, they got noses, haven't they?
Oh, it'll be a great world. Just think of the possibilities in aviation alone.
Why, it'll be fantastic. Everything will be different. The planes will be so thick in the sky, you won't be able to see the sun.
Well, in California, what's so different about that? Thank you, tourists. Thank you. Where were we?
I tremble to think, though, Bob. You know, with all those planes up in the sky, do you think the stork will be able to find his way
to your house blindfolded? I understand you're making him go around to the servants' entrance now. Is that right? Go ahead. Don't.
Perhaps again. You beast.
I had it. It's an ad lib for my writers. Go ahead.
It's going to be a great world, a grand world after the war. You know what I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to build myself a brand new house, and I'm going to paper every room with the music of one of the famous songs of the war.
Say, that sounds like a novel idea. What are you going to use?
Well, I thought in my trophy room, I'll put Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. And by the telephone, I'll put I Came Here to Talk for Joe. And in the card room, I'll put Be Careful, It's My Heart.
Well, where are you going to put Der Fuhrer's face?
Are you kidding?
We just didn't know how to dodge that, did we, old boy?
Well, I guess that takes care of post-war planning, but right now I've got a little request here from some of the lads over there. Ready to cut one, Bing?
Well, get me on, Dad.
Oh, okay. Okay, fellas. The old groaner is ambling over to the post to team up with a quartet that's a sure thing in Harlem and down Park Avenue.
Where's the quartet?
And wherever you guys hear command performance. It's the Charioteers and Bing Crosby and Basin Street Blues.
Now won't you come along with me?
Now won't you come along with me?
Down the Mississippi.
Down the Mississippi.
We'll take a boat to the land of dreams.
Steam down the river down to New Orleans.
There's gonna be a band there to meet us.
There's a band there to meet us.
Old friends to greet us.
Old friends to greet us.
That's where the old and the young folks meet.
Heaven on earth, they call it Basin Street.
Basin Street. That's the street where all the live dark folks meet. Down in New Orleans, that's the dream.
You never know how nice it seems or just how much it really means.
Glad to be, yes sirree, where welcome's free and dear to me, where I can lose
those doggone Basin Street blues.
Play a little of that piano on the air, will you, Jim?
Just a new kind of a diversion.
Just a new kind of a diversion.
You'll have to admit that they swing out real sweet.
Heaven on earth, they call it Basin Street.
Heaven on earth, they call it Basin Street.
Now, as you may know, my favorite Christmas carol is the celebrated Cantique de Noël by Noël Adam, and way back to the beginning of these podcasts, I gave you my favorite version of it, which is, of course, sung by Caruso in 1916. Today, I have to ask for your forgiveness for the poor quality of sound, but this is an historic recording. It dates from around 1900. If we remember names like Caruso, Shalyapin, and Tetrazzini from what we might call the golden age of operatic recording. He was 43 years younger, Caruso, than the singer I'm about to play you, and he is arguably the earliest singer to make a recording. He was born in 1830, and his name was Jean-Baptiste Fauré. He was by far the most famous French singer of his day, a baritone, a very smooth baritone. If you want to hear his style of singing in the throat, as it were, of one of his followers, just listen to the singing of the great bass Paul Plançon. Here, Fauré is 70 years old. They're not even certain that it is he who is singing here, but let's hope that it is. This is Jean-Baptiste Fauré one of the great baritones of his day, born in 1830, died in 1914, I think. Blanson died around that time as well. Amongst his other quirks was that his main hobby was collecting art. He sang all the major roles of his day and, as I say, was a bit of a legend, and yet somehow he's half forgotten now, mainly because he lived so early that he made very few recordings, if indeed these are by him. Nevertheless, I offer you here what I believe to be Jean-Baptiste Fauré's version of the Cantique de Noël, recorded probably on a cylinder, I believe, in 1900. Now, at Christmas time, they often show films featuring or about Alton Glenn Miller. He wasn't quite the romantic figure they made him out to be. He was very much business first, very much a disciplinarian. But he's also probably, along with Leslie Howard, the most famous person to die during World War II. He was only 40 when he disappeared in 1944. He had, by this time, had more top 10 hits than either Elvis Presley or the Beatles ever had. So he really was a huge star in his own day, when, of course, swing was king and big bands were the thing. This here is one of his possibly lesser known tracks. It's obviously very commercial, but that doesn't mean to say it has to be bad. This is the Glenn Miller version of Jingle Bells. Thank you.
snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells,
jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells,
I don't mind the storm. Bring your coat and hat, you lukewarm cat. I've got my horn to keep me warm.
Down in Mexico, we have got no snow.
You have got no snow.
Down in Mexico, sit around all day, hear the music play. Every time we sing, tequila glasses ring.
Jingle, 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 jingle.
I began this podcast with an excerpt of an American radio show from World War II. Moving on 14 years and moving to Great Britain, the style of radio show completely changed. Instead of comedy coming from a sort of committee of gag writers, the Goon Show was really the brainchild of one slightly bonkers genius of comedy called Spike Milligan. This particular show was called The Raid of the International Christmas Pudding. And that's why I chose it, because we're talking about Christmas. But the actual excerpt I'm going to use involves the two characters called Blue Bottle and Eccles, those Goon fans will know of whom I speak. But also because this is supposed to be a gramophone show, and they actually mention gramophone needles, which of course in 1956 were still the main medium of playing recordings. So here we are, 1956, I believe this show went out on the 10th of January, 1956. I may be wrong about that, but certainly it was around that time. And this is just a small excerpt from that show. Again, the sound quality isn't wonderful, but I think if you listen carefully, you can hear what is being said. Here goes, The Goon Show.
Any suggestions? Very well. Second counter move. We'll form three companies of commandos, numbered 1, 2, and 3. Each will be thoroughly trained in the last art of removing a gramophone needle from a charm box and destroying it. Now, look at this shot.
Why, sir? It's a photograph of a gramophone needle.
Correct. It's the actual gramophone needle the enemy is using in their insulting campaign. Photographed at great risk by air reconnaissance at low level.
How did they manage to get there low?
They walked. Now, we're going to destroy Red Banner's gramophone needle. We'll call this Operation Needle.
That'll do.
Thank you. Operation Needle, that'll do. It's on.
Reported immediately for an intensive 8-year course at the Army Needle Destroying Depot at Umballa.
There, gentlemen. Having drilled a hole in the gramophone needle, you must do this very carefully, by the way. You put into the hollow of the needle one eyedropper full of the nitroglycerine. Now, be most careful about this. It's extremely dangerous. Now, next we attach the detonator leads and set the fuse. So, now we withdraw quickly to 2 miles distance. Follow me.
Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, there's nobody here.
Think, there's nobody here. I know, I will sit here quietly until the talking lecture man comes back. Starts to cut out 6 box tops of scrapper, thus enabling me to get the Scrapper Boy's bravery badge for eating 6 boxes of Scrapper. I think I will sing a little song to keep my spirits up. Oh, my love, my darling, I hunger for your touch. Good long day, Nita.
Oh,
it's a famous echo.
It's a famous echo.
Echo? Apple. Let's have a game.
Sure.
You close your eyes and guess who you are.
Oh, no, I like the sound of that. I'll close my eyes. Now, let me see. Who am I? Who am I? I'm not going to tell you.
Well, while he is guessing, I think... Oh. What are all these funny things on this lecture there? It is a little medium full of medium juice. And what is this big bottle with the red label? Danger none for glimpsering. Explode. Think. I wish I had not read it that way. And I will tiptoe out of the room. Think. This is 1 week. Blue Bottle's not going to be steady. Richard's door, so far so good. Open door, and it's perfect. Turn back for one last look of triumph. Here it is, thank you.
The experiment had succeeded. The needle was entirely blunted.
So we prepared to raid the Red Letters dreaded radio station.
And now, while still on the theme of Christmas, we have something very different. This is a recording from November 1927. I've never been a great blues fan, unless it's something beautifully arranged by Duke Ellington or something. Of the more straight blues, I prefer the female jazz-based blues singers of the late 20s, people like Bessie Smith. But there were lots of them, and not all of them are remembered. One of them was called Elzadie Robinson. I'd never heard of her until I got hold of this track. She was born somewhere around 1897, which is just about the same time as Bessie Smith. But unlike Bessie Smith, she survived until the mid-70s. However, she didn't end up in world fame. She recorded 34 tracks between 1926 and 1929. And of course, the great Wall Street crash did away with lots of recording. And the first people who lost their contracts were the black singers of the day, who were making what was known as race records, because the black people who would have been the audience for these records were in total poverty very soon. Nevertheless, these tracks are actually quite good. This one, as I said, was recorded in November 1927, and the reason I'm playing it now, and the probability is that Elzadie wrote it herself, is that this one is called The Santa Claus Crave. So it's sort of on message, if you will. She's a good singer. It's a low voice. I mean, it's on the verge of almost sounding like a man singing. And she's good. She's as good as most of those female blues singers were at the time. But as I said, she was one of the ones who was dropped in 1929, and her career seemed to go downhill almost immediately. I believe she got happily married and just lived the rest of her life. But There you go. Here is the record. I think it's quite good of its type. Elzady Robinson. Over the months and years that I've been doing this, I seem to have found quite a few Christmas songs sung by one of the great tenors of the 20th century. It's ironic that he was actually half Jewish, but then again, as I've often said, the best Christmas songs are written by Jews anyway. This is another Christmas song recorded by Richard Tauber on the 25th of June, 1929. Naturally, it's got bells on it, because apparently Christmas songs always have to have bells. Here he is then, the great Richard Tauber, singing a song called From High Heaven. Well, this time for my track, I was hoping to include a recording of something which at least I find very interesting, and I was hoping that you would too. And this is that recently at one of my one-man shows, somebody came up who happens to operate the lights but is a classically trained pianist and kindly performed my two classical piano pieces that I wrote some years ago, but I can't play myself because I don't have the chops. He made a very good job of it, but unfortunately, although I was promised the MP3s, the chap who was going to send it to me let me down, and as yet I don't have them. So I've decided on something else, which is at least Christmas orientated. Back in Programme 21, I played you a recording of Nat King Cole singing a maudlin little number called He's a Little Boy That Santa Claus Forgot. And when I was 7, I loved this recording, and so decided to sing it myself among a series of recordings that I made at that time on my late father's reel-to-reel tape recorder with him playing the guitar for me. It's only a minute long, so you won't have to suffer for long. So this is Earl Oakin, myself, at the age of 7, singing He's a Little Boy That Santa Claus Forgot, with my then dreadful Streatham accent. And until next time, as always, I say au revoir. It will be 2022 next time we speak.
He's a little boy that Santa Claus forgot, and goodness knows he didn't want a lot. He sent a note to Santa for a soldier and a drum. It broke his little heart when he found Santa hadn't come. In the street, he envies all those lucky boys that wanders home to last year's broken door. I'm so sorry for that laddie. He hasn't got a daddy, the little boy.